on this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Doge, do you hear? Elon released the Twitter algorithm. It's a must-see.
LinkedIn is feeding us some product updates with improvements to the feed, search, and more.
And I price guarantee we'll have new Google Travel news for you.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhout,
aka Shop.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it's officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on April 7th, 2023. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode. Nicole Waddington is here. We're so happy that you're on the show. What's new with you?
Well, last Friday, I tried Zins for the first time.
That's a bad habit.
Provided by the company. Let me just say
that. No, it was absolutely not a single company dollar was spent on those Zins. How dare you?
This podcast does not support nicotine consumption.
Unless it's for your health, asterisk.
No, it's... Or focus and productivity.
Asterisk.
Because I didn't realize that a couple people at this company just do them all day. All day long.
Get out of here.
That's what you said.
Bleep that table.
I asked how many you take a day, and you said a couple level whatever.
A few, yeah.
Sixes.
Yeah,
you is know. That a level
I mean,
of
yeah.
Zins?
Big boy here.
This episode is sponsored, and I just feel like I need to say that we do not support nicotine.
Unless it's for health, asterisk.
It's or not for health.
Productivity. Clarity and productivity and focus, yeah. asterisk.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd do it again. But I will say, again, I didn't realize some people did them throughout the day. You're on a whole different level. I understand
it's increased,
it.
Yeah. You have more neurons.
I felt like I was like, somebody pull up Google Ads Editor. I could go, you know?
Your telomeres grow. Yeah. It's all good.
What happened to last year when you were just on fizzy water?
It's been a tough year.
Okay, well, new for me this week, I don't know if you guys have made the connection, but I do have Taylor Swift tickets. It was really a journey. I'm going 1 month postpartum. That's going to be a whole nother journey. And I just feel the need to say, because there's this thing happening in the Swiftie community where everyone's just okay with knowing the set list ahead of time. And I just need to be here and say, I do not want to know. Why is that normal?
I don't know why people watch movie trailers. You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, that's completely different. That's just no, like it is. A preview
absolutely
of the movie.
Not. No. I just watched the Into the Spider-Verse 2. It gave the whole movie away. I saw the bad guy. I saw how they got out of the fight. I'm like, why do we even watch this movie anymore? I'm with you. They shouldn't have movie trailers, and they shouldn't have pre-released set lists.
I wish I didn't even have to see her costumes before, but I know that's unavoidable. I want a surprise.
It's actually all avoidable. You just don't look at it.
Yeah. Well, I have to be on TikTok.
Well, then that's the consequence you pay.
What's new with you, Greg?
And that's literally like the definition of first world problem.
Yeah. You could always do like the minute you see a video on TikTok, you could say not interested and then the feed will learn.
I try, but then I'm going to hear a second of the song. It's quicker to just go past. And then what if they get rid of all Taylor Swift content? Greg, do you have any real problems?
Yeah. So for me, none of our audience members recommended a cult for me, so I went ahead and I am dabbling in the cult of Tony Robbins right now.
Repetition is the mother of mastery. You have to do it over and over again.
I gotta say, I love it. I am all in on this. It's some real corny stuff, but like, if you know it's corny, it's not like that big of a deal. It's like, good times create weak people. Weak people create bad times. Bad times create good people. Good people create great times and stuff like that, you know? But he's got this big raspy voice. And he's teaching you about like incarnations and stuff.
Where is he speaking to you?
Is it incarnation? I'm listening to a live on Audible. Mm-hmm. Incarnate. That's bringing back from the dead.
You're doing a great job.
Incantations. Incantate. Is that a word? Incantation?
Yeah, I thought it was witches.
Okay. Oh. But I think I'm all in on this. I think I'm all in on the cult.
It doesn't sound like it because you don't have the lingo down.
I have to. It's on Audible and it's a live seminar.
Do you listen to it while you're at the gym?
No.
It's like a motivational.
No. Okay. No. At the gym, it's like six songs over and over again.
Oh.
And that's it. But yeah, Cult of Tony Robbins. I'll be reporting back.
I'm happy for you. Thank you. I'm sure Tony would also say that great people create great podcasts, which is why we're very excited to be sponsored this week by Serps Up, brought to you by Wix. We know you come to our show for SEO news, but on Serps Up, they're covering evergreen topics. You can dive straight into whatever interests you or whatever you need help with for your site. So this week, they're covering something super tricky, and that is SEO for gated content. So just because something is behind a paywall or it's exclusive content does not mean that you can't rank for it. And Crystal and Morty are showing you how to do just that on this week's show with their expert insights. And they're joined by the one and only Amalia Fowler. So this is definitely an episode you don't want to miss.
Yeah, they got Amalia. And if you like this podcast, you will love Serps Up. And I promise you, because I know that one member here is going on a Serps Up podcast coming to your ear holes soon, talking about SEO and paid and the marriage of both. Yours truly will be on Serps Up. So go and subscribe Serps Up podcast with Morty and Crystal. It is a definite must listen.
And I guess Greg sometimes. You can tune into the show on the Wix SEO Learning Hub at wix.com/SEO/learn/podcast. They have a ton of great resources on the Learning Hub in general, so you should definitely check it out. Or if it's easier for you, just look for Serps Up wherever you're listening to us. Thank you, Wix. Nicole, what is happening in the news this week?
All right, so first up in the news today, as you know, last Friday, Twitter took its algorithm open source and Elon Musk tweeted, most of the recommendation algorithm will be made open source today, the rest will follow. Acid test is that independent third parties should be able to determine with reasonable accuracy what will probably be shown to users. No doubt, many embarrassing issues will be discovered, but we will fix them fast. So this is big because I feel like Elon's been teasing this for a long time. And so it was finally released, and Akash Gupta at @AkashZero on Twitter had a thread that really did a good job of highlighting some of the notable findings and takeaways from this code. So just to highlight a few here, it's much more impactful to earn likes and retweets than replies. Including images and videos in your tweets lead to a 2x boost. In general, if you have external links, you get marked as spam unless your tweet has good engagement.
Oh, even like YouTube, our YouTube videos?
Any external links.
Hate that.
Also, mutes, blocks, unfollows, spam reports or abuse reports can hurt your engagement. And, well, unsurprisingly, paying for Twitter Blue gives you a boost as well. Any categorized misinformation will get highly downranked in the algorithm. And what was interesting here was, so are posts about Ukraine. Finally, the algorithm puts you into a grouping of similar profiles and extends your tweet reach beyond your followers to similar people. So a lot of interesting findings here. And it's also just interesting, like, that he actually followed through and released it. Because I feel like a lot of people doubt Elon Musk or criticize him. But this is, I think, something that, in my opinion, is good.
But it's like all these things will downgrade you or whatever, or you could just subscribe to Twitter Blue.
I just can't believe he did it. I can't believe he just leaked the whole thing. That's incredible. Like, and I've said it many times, seems like a bad guy on the spectrum, don't talk about him in a negative way, whatever. This is like very, like, he gave away the secret sauce for how it works. Which is, imagine, like, your boyfriend, what's his name?
I have a lot. Rob Pattinson?
No, the guy with the glasses and the ugly sweaters.
Oh, Adam Mosseri? Yeah. He's not my boyfriend. He's not,
imagine him giving away, like, here's how reels get boosted on Instagram. He'd never do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible that they did this. And I thought one of the things, I never thought, like, likes were that big, but likes are bigger than responses, which is pretty crazy. So if you see any of our tweets, please give them a like.
Another thing notable with Twitter is this past Saturday was the date that Twitter started removing check marks from profiles that did not pay for Twitter Blue, which Elon was also warning people about. The account Sir Doge of the Coin at Doge Official CEO noticed on Sunday that the New York Times profile's blue check mark had been removed, and the account photoshopped a new emoji next to the name of a clown in its place, since the New York Times came out last week and said it would not be paying to have that verified blue check mark on the account.
Oh, I thought that was real. I thought they actually put a clown at the end.
No, it was photoshopped. Okay. It was edited.
Because Elon responded to that.
Yes, okay. Elon did. And Elon said, New York Times is being incredible hypocritical here. I think that's a spelling mistake. As they are super aggressive about forcing everyone to pay for their subscription.
Great point.
Yeah, weird that they got 7.8 million views with a spelling error. Shouldn't that be downgraded more?
There wasn't anything in the algorithm about spelling, was
there? There was. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part.
But
good luck to me.
I don't know. I don't think it's the same. Like with journalism subscriptions, you're paying for product, which is content that they write, but Twitter's free and you're the product, but you're paying.
Even if you pay for New York Times, you get ads.
That's true.
Right? Like somebody's got to keep the lights right. That's a good burn, but it's just funny he burned a fake image. Like he like roasted a fake image.
Couple things. We have a lot of like fake spelling errors in our Marketing at Clock tweets because we think we're so hilarious with puns. So
that could
be our problem. Second, live check, Greg Finn still has his blue check mark.
Oh.
I'm
Didn't
sure
pay for that.
You're going to know the minute it goes away. Did you pay?
I will probably buy Twitter Blue. I'm just going to go on the record and say that.
Oh, I thought you said you weren't.
No, we pay for it
for Marketing at Clock.
Yeah. Right? Like, and part of this, I mean, we use an incredible amount of resources. We have 4 people, 3 HD cameras, all these lights. Like, it makes sense for Marketing Clock. Mm-hmm. And if I can amplify stuff and if you get more coverage for it, I'll probably pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like, I feel like for all of the time and investment, like, why wouldn't you pay for it? Kind of thing.
You don't need to give reasons. Anyone who has a blue check mark now is going to be paying for it.
See, I don't think that's the case. If I didn't have one before, I would pay for one. I don't care about the vanity of it.
Yeah.
If there was no boost in this algorithm, I would never buy a blue check mark. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we could make things more successful, get more visibility, help more people by coming. I mean, the whole show is like an educational thing. I think it's just better in general to, if you're burning the calories on Twitter for business, I don't tweet like non-business stuff.
Yeah.
Then I think it's sort of like table stakes.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Finn has turned on the new Google News sign. If you haven't already done so, please stow your distraction underneath the seat in front of you or in an overhead bin. And also, please make sure your volume is in their 70% of max position.
I think I'm too pregnant to fly.
Remind you that Google now has 3 new search features that will make it easier for users to book their next plane ticket, research hotels, and discover things to do while on vacation. Discovering fun new things to do is strictly prohibited on the entire aircraft, including the lavatories. Google has begun tampering with disabling the travel SERPs as follows. The biggest announcement, a price guarantee badge for flights. If you see a flight with the price guarantee badge, it means Google believes that the price you see today won't get any lower. If you book with Google, the company will watch the price, and if it drops, you'll get the difference back. We've seen this work without a single flaw on the LSAs with the Google guarantee. Nothing has ever gone wrong there. You can already see whether current prices are low, typical, or high compared to historical averages, but with this feature, you can now guarantee that price. Thoughts and prayers if you see a lower price and have to contact Google for the difference. Next for you here today, Google has a new way for users to browse and discover hotels on mobile. When you think about booking hotels, a word comes immediately to mind. No, it's not easy selection. It's stories. If you search for something like Soho London Hotels and tap to view more, you'll find a new option to explore each property in a swipeable story format.
What?
Lastly,
whose idea was that?
It is Google's pleasure to help you find things to do once we've arrived at our final destination. You can now use search or maps to look for attractions where prices will show directly on listings, along with a link to book a ticket. Additional suggestions will show up for terms, just to really f*** with the hardworking businesses that earned that search engine ranking or work really hard on their Google business profile. For example, if you search for the Empire State Building, you'll see suggestions related for experiences like a citywide tour. If you have any questions about this news today, please don't hesitate to ask the community over on Discord at community.marketingaclock. Thank you for flying AirFin.
That was really great.
Thanks. Who wants a story hotel?
Nobody does. And very good point with the price comparison. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Who are you going to call?
Imagine you get on there and it's like Google ad support. And you're like, oh, the price changed. It's much lower now. Imagine trying to get that money back.
And chat just won't be available.
And then the Google guarantee, it's all those companies that bring you in and then transfer you over and take your money. We covered that a few weeks back.
Oh, but my God.
Good luck. I cannot imagine working with Google Help on a price guarantee. That there's nothing I'd rather do less.
I feel like you just had to get into character to deliver this, or you would have just gotten mad. Next up here, we have some LinkedIn product updates from LinkedIn's Tomer Cohen. So first they say they are orienting your feed around what matters to you. So for example, if someone in your network likes a post or comments on it, they say, we'll include that post in your feed if it's relevant to you, i.e. if it helps you gain knowledge or skills that you won't that you will find valuable professionally. And you is italicized. So I feel like they're responding to people complaining that what's in there now isn't helpful. Like, that's what I'm reading between the lines there. I hate what I see on LinkedIn. So that's the vibe I'm getting. Second part of this is they say you're going to see more posts from people who matter most to you, aka your connections. Again, I feel like people are complaining about all the things that are showing up in their timeline and they want to see more things from people they're connected with. So hopefully people are happier there. Next up, they are apparently improving the search functionality, including, quote, search filters and sorting to further refine what you're looking for. I just need to give a disclaimer. This whole article is like very vague and starts with a paragraph about Women's History Month. So I'm sorry for like my fuzziness in the reporting here, but the way I'm reading this is you can filter by either newsletters, interest groups, events, courses, and storylines that cover recent trending news. And then they say, quote, even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, search will surface today's timely topics with try searching for and news and views so you can stay current. So they're adding filters to search based on the type of content. I don't know. Number three, we've covered this, I believe, but they recently launched collective articles. So they say, first, we publish conversation starters powered by AI and our editorial team. Then we identify skilled experts and invite them to come together to collaboratively add their insights and anecdotes. Any members can leverage these articles, read them, check them out, whatever. So those are coming. I think we covered them in social recently. Four, they are testing suggested posts in the feed. It says, we'll do the heavy lifting to find out what's trending amongst professionals in your field and surface great conversations on topics that might be very relevant to you. And then five, they say they want your feedback on the content that they are surfacing in your feed. So they're going to be surveys in your feed that they want you to fill out to tell them how relevant the content is. And they're also adding an X button on every post so you can hide posts that you don't want to see. I love this. I'll never forget when I discovered that Slack had that hide image button. It was like the best day of my life. And I had to use it yesterday because we were talking about the Barbie movie.
There's a Barbie movie?
You're joking, right?
I've never seen it. Literally news to me.
The trailer came out yesterday. Everyone's talking. I have to Barbie-fy you now onto a poster. Tables remind me.
Okay.
It's a huge thing. Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, you haven't heard anything about it?
Nothing. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Well, we've been talking about it for years because I've been filming. I don't know. Everyone's just so excited about it.
You're really using the term weave pretty liberally right there.
The world, except for you. Because you're just at the gym and not paying attention.
What are you going to do in the Barbie movie?
What am I going to do?
No, what is Barbie going to do?
Oh, it looks like she's like escaping from Barbie land.
Sounds riveting.
It looks hilarious.
You
going to
watch Barbie movie?
Probably, but
I won't go to the theater.
Yeah, if it's
get
on a streaming,
you will go right to
if
the theater.
If it's on a streaming platform, I will.
You will go to the theater to watch Barbie.
I'm gonna have a newborn.
Do you know that the reason you got this job was your Barbie essay?
That's true.
We need to hear about that story some other time.
Oh, I think we've talked about it on the
show.
You're
like a fan fiction Barbie essay.
It was what's your favorite? I think they just needed someone who could write. So. Mm. there was a prompt to write an article about your favorite ad. And I wrote about the Barbie You Can Do Anything ad with the little girl talking to the college class.
So wait. Let me go back. This whole thing was a lie about how much Barbie meant to you.
What do you mean? She means a lot to me.
Not enough to go buy a ticket to the movie theater.
I'm going to have a newborn and I'm already going to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, I know. You can do it. That's what you're choosing.
You can do anything.
If you can go to a Taylor Swift concert, and even if you've already seen the set list, you can still go to that.
Okay, I'll think about it. Maybe if the baby, it lines up with nap time. But what was disturbing was we were going back and forth. They have the most offensive thing for the pregnant Barbie. I'm sure this is a nice lady, but she's making a face like me on all of our thumbnails, like, And all the other Barbies are so glamorous. So then it led us down this rabbit hole about Midge, the pregnant Barbie. We have one image of her where it looks like she's pregnant in her forehead. What are they doing to poor Midge?
What am I looking at?
I know I'm pregnant in my ankles, but I didn't know you could be pregnant in your forehead. And then we have this other Barbie.
She's pregnant in her bangs.
Oh, that's the other Midge.
Oh, that's the other Midge. Okay, yeah, this one is. Yeah, she's got a baby growing right in that.
That Midge has a baby.
That's a cranium child.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then this other Midge with the magnetic detachable womb, that is the stuff of nightmares. This is making me more afraid for birth, and I've already done it once.
I don't like this.
It's terrifying, so I press the X right away. Don't want to see it.
I wouldn't.
But then I put in the prep notes, so you had to.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your service.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Sam Tomlinson, at Digital Sam. I am on Twitter, and he has an amazing thread here talking about match types. And if you are confused remotely about how Google Ads works, Sam breaks it down. And I'll just give you his diagnosis on exact match. Exact match, what it used to be, an ad is eligible to enter the auction if the query is identical to the keyword, with a minor allowance for misspellings or grammatical errors. Exact match, what it is now. Functional match, where ads are eligible to serve if the query has the same underlying meaning slash function as the keyword, even if the exact keyword isn't present. And then it goes on to talk about other match types and really kind of starts by saying that it's really Google's fault with their messaging. You can't use the term like exact and it not be exact. That's me chiming in there. But I know we do not give commentary on this, but this is a phenomenal thread, Sam. And he ends by saying, in general, you should start thinking about search more like you'd think of paid social, using your CPA and ROAS targets as prioritization throttles while supplementing your keyword targeting with audiences, which are far more robust. It's a brave new world. Like usual, hits the nail right on the head. Thank you, Sam.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have. ICYMI, people, we have some really scary math here from Alfred Simon, at Alfred Simon on Twitter. He tweeted this week, your Google Ads conversion tracking will stop in 96 days if you are using the imported conversions from Universal Analytics. But that's not true. You don't have 96 days, you have less than that. Let's calculate together. You need at least 2 to 3 weeks to let the pixel gather data before switching it to primary. So that's 96 minus 14 equals 82. The campaigns using smart bidding will also need some time to readjust. Let's assume everything goes right. So they need only a week. 82 minus 7 equals 75. In reality, if everything goes right during implementation, you only have 75 days left if you implement the new conversion event today. Therefore, I strongly suggest switching as soon as possible. This is a great reminder. You need to make sure the two big things for Google Ads in this GA4 transition are your conversions and your audiences. I have clients where the conversion tracking has been really tricky for the transition. They're having problem with like third-party tools. So I went ahead and set one up based on landing pages that's native to Google Ads just so we have a backup if we need it, because we're all going to be in trouble if we let this go on and don't switch it. So thanks for the reminder, Alfred. Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social. First up in the paid universe this week, we have news from the Wall Street Journal that was recapped for me by Eric Seufert because I don't have a subscription. Meta will soon allow EU-based users to opt out of ad personalization using any data other than broad demographic features after the company was handed a record-breaking GDPR fine for using first-party data to target ads without consent. So meta targeting ain't what it used to be, and it looks like it's going to get worse for people in the UK.
I have a question for people. New iPhone user here. I'm getting all these prompts about allow to track or not. Do you hit allow to track or not allow to track?
I went through a kind of a crisis when it happened because I feel like I'm an advertiser.
What about you?
I don't get those prompts.
You got them. You already did it.
Oh.
When it came out.
Do you
out
only
at
press
first.
It once? It only
yeah.
comes up once?
Yeah.
I don't really remember. I probably said yes.
I kind of, it's like, it depends on the app. Yeah. If I want to give them my money, but it's not my money.
I'm sort of like, if you're going to give me ads, give me ads that work for me.
Yeah.
Like, I buy things. I don't think ads are bad.
And I just don't, who cares what I'm doing?
I
that's how
like,
I feel.
I'd rather have better ads for things mm-hmm. I like. I buy things off of ads. Like,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I've gotten good purchases from them.
I do too.
Yeah. And especially like, now, like, the feed is just so inundated with ads. Like, I want them to be more relevant.
Give me something I can buy.
Yeah.
I don't want like a general Coca-Cola or Pepsi ad. I would rather have something good.
I think I might have said no to Meta because I just sometimes hope their ad platform just combusts and we can all do something else.
So yeah, some apps I don't like. They ask me, I'm like, no, you can't get my ad.
And some, there's like really weird ones.
It's like Nextdoor. No,
that you would never think would ask you. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Now I have all these health apps on my phone, and it's like, I don't know about that one, but it's very strange. Sophie Logan tweeted a notification from her Google Ads account that says, notice about your account. This looks incredibly dramatic, by the way. Red exclamation point, as usual. It says, pause your keywords with low click-through rates. Having just one low-performing keyword can harm your whole account. She says, hello, incredibly dramatic and over-the-top Google Ads alert. One low-performing keyword can harm my whole account? What?
And this isn't a help document. I just wish that...
Oh, sorry about that.
The Google PR team that writes these asinine, like, incomprehensible statements in every release could look at something in the help. Like,
yeah.
Put them on there. Instead of firing them all, go put them on there. You know, and like have them be like, hey, yeah, well, let's not say harm.
The call to action on the button says, do it now.
They are losing their minds over that.
I know. Thanks, Sophie. It is a new month, which means Microsoft Ads released that monthly blog post with all their product updates. So here we go. So for April, they've got professional service ads rolling out globally. These were in beta until now, and it sounds like their LSAs on Google, but they're called professional service ads here. They say they're for a variety of industries such as insurance, real estate, doctor, and clinics, tax services, and home services. So if you're running LSAs, you might want to check those out. Sounds like they might be available for more verticals than Google has, so definitely look at the list. This post also talks about the broad match modifier change that I love so much. So they were running as phrase match, and now they're running as broad. Good luck to anyone who has that in their account. They also talk about new bulk operations in the asset library, so it's easier to delete assets or move them to new folders. There's a new column for target bid value for campaigns using target CPA, target return on ad spend, or target impression share. So you'll be able to see that in your reports now. I didn't realize you couldn't do that in Microsoft because they don't use smart bidding in there, but it seems like something they should have already had. Next up from PPC Kirk, he says, very recent addition to the Google shopping policies page that broadens the risks harm category to include Google employees. So this says, advertisers have a responsibility to not promote content or engage in behavior that risks harm to our users, employees, or ads ecosystem. And I blame Greg.
No, it's not me. I don't do anything bad. There was actually people that went after Jenny. A while back. I don't want to like bring up old news.
Why would they do that? Protect you.
Because certain channels got demonetized and they went after like public liaisons. And they were being very bad. Like, I'm just joking with Ben Kruger, who is doing harm to everybody, or not anymore.
I know. What about the harm they do to us?
He's not really doing harm. He just loves branded search. I just don't like branded search.
It's sad that.
So I take it back.
Yeah. It's sad that we need this policy, but.
No, but people were going after them, and good. You shouldn't be going after somebody personally because you are mad at a decision. So good. You should then be banned forever. Don't be mean to Ginny.
And Ben Kruger replied and said, I had to update this because you guys were hurting my feelings. Which update on Ben Kruger? I guess he's not at Google anymore.
That's a funny tweet, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was probably our podcast that did him in.
Best of luck, Ben. Next up from the desk of Greg Finn, Google is now bringing cost savings measures to the partner program, Greg says. So your partner's reward points are now only valid for 6 months if no prizes are redeemed. And if you don't redeem your points by October 4th this year, your balance will expire. That is really annoying. Like, what if you're just a small biz trying to save up for that bike?
And we have enough points for the giant Connect 4, and I really want it, but it's been out of stock forever, and I can't buy it, and I can't spend less points, and they don't give you points anymore. And I'm, like, waiting for this thing to come in stock. And then I think it was Chris Ridley's like, yeah, watch all these people buying just, like, the towel or something for 5 points once a quarter just to keep their points.
Why do they even care?
I don't know.
I think they're going to end up losing money on this because they're going to have to order a million more towels.
Yeah. And they took the stapler off too. Can't get that anymore.
Come on, Google. Next up, PPC Greg posted a picture of he is disputing or appealing an ad violation for trademarks and ad text in Google Ads. So he checks the box for made changes to comply with the policy, which is the only option. And there's a notification that says it's important that you fix any policy violations before appealing. If you try to appeal too many ads that haven't been fixed, we may limit how often you can appeal policy decisions.
We're trying to give you money, Google. What are you doing?
And he makes a great point that why isn't there an option for I dispute the decision? Like, you are dinging me for using Get or whatever that happened one time.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you don't need to make a change. I've been dinged for using my own brand name, and nobody will answer the phone.
Well, don't resubmit too much, or you might not be able to resubmit at all.
It makes me so mad. I feel like even when I submit this, sometimes it's just going into a void and nobody's looking at it. It makes me so mad.
It would be one thing if there was, like, a very low amount of appeals that are needed, but they all the time mistakenly disapprove ads.
Update from Dr. Foe on LinkedIn. This is a really interesting article if sneaky ad fraud is something that you're interested in. But basically, ad fraud is still rampant. And he has an example of a scraped Reddit post that was turned into a web page. And then there were a bunch of ads on it. So just be careful if you're running CPM stuff about where your ads are running, because there's some really gross stuff happening out there.
So what did you think about the article, Shep?
I needed your help. I wrote a comment that said, I can't do this now. I need to revisit later. He's just like a really smart guy, and I didn't have the time to read the whole thing today. It was a lot, but it looks really interesting.
Yeah. If you're buying like via DSP or something like that, and you're using CPM as a metric, use some other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the examples they had were so egregious. This is just not real content. It was scraped and ads everywhere. It's so, some of the stuff is just so spammy. So this is your quarterly reminder.
And you think I did a great job with that story? It's time for Stonks with Shep, everybody.
Oh boy.
Not really, kind of loosely related. From Peter Adams for Marketing Dive, this article is called Is a Recession Coming? Ad Spending Trends Indicate Yes, according to a report. So basically, a bunch of companies are cutting ad spend. We talk about this every week, and it's because everyone thinks the recession's coming. Interesting part about this is that in the past, that's happened in the opposite direction. Like, the recession is here, and then people cut ad spend, and now we're, like, going in the reverse direction. Apparently something to do with the buying cycle. That was Stonks with Shep.
I think the important thing to know is, like, your ad spends, you should really be focusing on them, and performance is more important than ever. Make sure you've got a good company or a good team, you know, watching those ads.
Definitely.
And not doing some of the stuff that Dr. Pao saw.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pao.
And read up on Dr. Pao.
In Organic this week, we have today's SEO lightning round brought to you by Wix. You probably know Wix is one of the best tools out there for building beautiful websites, 900 plus strategically designed templates. But Wix, I'm going to go on record and say it. They're now the leader in SEO and advanced SEO and marketing tools that can help you build your brand online. There is a fantastic new feature and a video that will be linked over on Marketing O'Clock on Twitter and in our newsletter showing how you no longer have to leave your admin of your site to see Search Console data. It's right within the SEO dashboard if you hook it up now, and it's a custom view. It really amplifies some of the bigger movers, some of the bigger areas that may need improvement. If you've seen a decrease in clicks and underperforming pages, Morty goes through it in the video that will be linked with his SEO rant website. You can see his live data. Like, just use it for that. Go look at the video just for that. And he shows different areas of opportunity of pages that might need to be taken a look at because of traffic drops. They've got the SEO Learning Hub. They're bringing Search Console in, and they've got Morty and Crystal helping you every week. Wix.com, Wix.com, Wix.com. Don't miss it.
And you can get started for free. You don't even need to put in a credit card. Just give it a try.
And first up this week in the organic section, Screaming Frog had a tweet that says, looks like last week Google started showing less brand names at the end of SERP titles. Makes sense with the site names already. Site names is a whole different thing. I could go on a two-hour tirade about it, but I will not. And then Adam DeFrisco, our boots on the ground SEO correspondent, says, I went looking for evidence of these branded title changes, and to me it seems more all over the place. Some removed the names, changed the names, and some added the brand names. So there's definitely testing going on. So maybe mark it in your calendars. End of March, there's some differences you might see in CTR. I kind of like having the brand names there, but I get it. The brand name is above it now, so whatever. And you have the favicon. I don't know. Charles Farina at Charles Farina on Twitter. He says, new for GA4 360. This is enterprise only. You can now enable BigQuery linking for rollups and sub properties. Previously, it was only available at the source properties. This allows you to aggregate exports or sub exports if you desire. But again, got to be the 360 user. Okay, we'll keep it here with analytics and data nerds can rejoice as Google Analytics 4 now supports creating and or modifying events using regular expressions, aka regex. This can help you migrate those destinations and goals from Universal Analytics to GA4 in an easier, more programmatic fashion. So I didn't even know that you couldn't do that. That seems like a big miss, but they've corrected it. So
I cannot believe you made that joke before Jess Bud did.
Jess would be proud. From David, spelled D4VIDTS on Twitter, he grabbed a screenshot of a brand that he was selling, and Amazon says 200 plus were bought in the past week. And David knows his Amazon sales. He's the one shipping the product, I'd assume, or somebody that he works with. And he says, we did not sell 200 plus units in the past week. Not even close. And I saw this from John Elder, and he says, looks like Amazon is juicing their stats to increase conversion rates. Naughty, naughty. And if this is true, Amazon is like the most stringent on fake reviews and everything like that. This should be really punishable.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that would be the case, that they're juicing these numbers to try to get people to buy more.
And it's not even like the retailer's asking for it.
Now we're getting to Bardly Working here. And we had to skip this from last week, so you might have seen a couple of these examples before. But from Acorn1010 on Twitter, they say, just tried Bard. It's great. And the prompt that was put to Bard was, if 1 + 1 = 2, then what is 1 + 2? And Bard responds, if 1 + 1 = 2, then 1 + 2 = 4. This is because 1 + 1 = 2 is a false statement. In mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2 is not a valid equation. It is not possible to add 1 and 1 and get 2.
I'm really, this is painful for me.
I hate Bard. Why? I hate it. And then they went back through and said to Bard, that's wrong.
Seriously.
Right? And then Bard says, I apologize for the mistake. 1 + 1 = 2 is a false statement. And 1 + 2 = 4 is the correct answer. This thing can't even add.
I can do better math than that.
Your daughter can do better math than that.
She's working on it.
She can do 1 + 1.
She's 2 years old.
Okay. And then Gil.
We're working on holding up one finger at a time to say 1 + 2.
Well, you know what? I trust your daughter more than Bard.
I do too.
Gil Gildner at Gil Gildner on Twitter says, I've been testing Google Bard for a few days now, and it's wrong way more often than it's right. None of these mistakes really matter individually, but collectively, Bard is garbage for anyone who cares. He was looking about a BMW, and it's completely wrong. Gave just totally wrong information. And my thing that I'm going to say every week, you can give wrong information, but cite where you get it from. Mm-hmm. And Bard doesn't cite thing. Bard just gives bad, inaccurate information, claiming it as its own, aka Google's. I'm sure the terms of service cover some of that stuff, but at some point, things are going to go horribly awry because you have something that doesn't cite where it came from. Nobody can get more information, and you're putting all this stuff out as fact, and 1 + 1 = 2. Breaking news. And then I asked Bard if Bard thinks Microsoft is evil, the kind of consensus that it said, and you can see it up on screen on our YouTube channel. Subscribe. It says, overall, I believe that Microsoft is a company trying to do good in the world. It is not perfect, but is committed to making a positive impact. Now, I asked, do you think that Apple is evil? And the conclusion was basically, overall, I believe that Apple is a company trying to do good in the world. It is not perfect, but is committed to making a positive impact. When I asked if Bard thought Google was evil, it was like, couldn't answer. Basically, it says, ultimately, whether or not Google is evil is a matter of opinion. However, there are some things that Google has done that could be considered unethical. For example, Google has been accused of manipulating search results to promote its own products and services and has been criticized in its role for its spread of misinformation. It goes on to say, it's important to remember that Google is a company, and like any company, it is driven by a desire to make money. However, Google also has a responsibility to use its power in a responsible way. If Google wants to be considered a force for good in the world, it needs to be more transparent about its data collection and use practices. It needs to be more careful about the information that it spreads. Bro, you're spreading the most misinformation, mm-hmm. Bard. What are you talking about? But I just thought that was funny. Like, nobody, like, programmed that in. They're weird. And then just a quick note from our Slack channel. I thought this was funny. Maggie on our team says, does anyone else ever feel like they need to thank ChatGPT when you use it for something? And Heather on our team says, every time, laughing face. And then follows up and says, but not Bard.
He's always coming for Bard. So great.
All right. That's it in organic. What's happening in social, Nicole?
All right. So Joe Spicer at J Spicer on Twitter had a thread on his misfortunes of Facebook. And it starts with, Facebook killed my startup. I lost $100 million and had to let go of 100 employees. One of the darkest periods of my startup journey. And then he goes on to detail founding an entertainment company called Little Things, and that Little Things made content for movie buffs, makeup fanatics, and regular housewives. Everything seemed to be going great, but he recounts in February 2018, he said Facebook algorithm changed and started prioritizing hard-hitting news and caused Little Things to lose 90% of its organic Facebook traffic unless they paid for ads. And I guess he had a deal with a large media company that fell through and they had to settle for a fire sale offer because of this. So Joe's message, all major platforms pull these out of nowhere moves that impact small startups, small businesses, and creators, not just Facebook.
This is, I'm calling cap on Spicer here. Like, you had 100 employees and you made content that wasn't good enough for people to like want to go seek out. Maybe that's a you problem, Joe.
Yeah. Seems like a strategy problem.
Yeah.
Like for you being just on Facebook.
You put all your eggs in one basket that's a Facebook organic traffic mm-hmm. basket and nobody cared enough about your brand to want to like seek that content out. and you built an entire business around it. That's weird.
And more on social news, Nicole Farley on Search Engine Land reported that Twitter's top 500 advertisers could get free verification. So as we reported earlier in the show, Twitter has imposed a fine for anyone who wants that blue check mark. The fine,
fee
of $1,000 in monthly verification fees for organizations starting April 1st.
Kind of is a fine.
It is. I liked it.
Like, I had this before. Now you're not going to get any reach.
But according to an internal document acquired by the New York Times, it will exempt 500 of the biggest advertisers and 10,000 of the most followed organizations with prior verification. Nicole Farley had some good takeaways from this, that Musk charging organizations for the verification could impact their social media marketing strategy because the verification was a tool that could help build trust with their audience. Secondly, charging for verification may make it more difficult for small businesses to obtain the badge and could impact their ability to attract and retain followers. And then finally, Twitter making exceptions for its top advertisers may create an uneven playing field, with larger organizations being at an advantage over small ones. But all I know is Marketing O'Clock Twitter did not make the top 10,000 followers because we're paying for Twitter Blue.
I'm shocked.
But you should go over and follow us on at Marketing O'Clock on Twitter anyway. And Chris Messina at Chris Messina on Twitter noticed that Twitter is experimenting with custom reactions. So he included a GIF of when you hover over that heart icon on a tweet. He has options for like the laughing emoji, clapping, crying, and like question emoji. And from Aaron Barr on Marketing Dive, Meta has launched new AI-driven brand safety and verification tool. So this would help assess whether content meets the company's existing monetization policies and then classify that content, text, photo, and video as high, medium, or low risk based on the Global Alliance for Responsible Media's suitability framework. So this would then allow advertisers to choose from those three content levels to control the types of content that appear above and below an ad. But this will only be available for Meta's English and Spanish speaking markets. Meta is also working with Zephyr, if that's how you say it, to develop an AI tool to evaluate the context in which ads appear in the Facebook feed. This feature will be rolling out to badged Meta business partners later this year. And TikTok is entering the initial stages of a new affiliate marketing project intended for American content creators through its shop product. So this would allow creators to earn commissions for product promotions via video profiles and live streaming sessions.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Take that. Don't use TikTok, but I'm happy
for
him.
Don't use TikTok to watch Taylor Swift concert videos, but
you are.
No, I said
you don't even have color.
You're the problem. It's you.
I actually did bring color back.
Oh wow!
I got pissed off about the maps. I couldn't see where I was going when I used maps very easily.
Yeah, it's kind of important to know if you're going over a mountain or a lake.
It's going. This is the machine.
This
knows.
Is the lake.
Stop
the
machine.
There's no road here.
Yeah, I would say so. And Shep alluded to this, but you might have noticed if you've logged into Twitter recently, at least when we're recording the show on Wednesday, that Twitter recently replaced their bird logo on the platform with the Doge mascot, the Doge Bitcoin dog.
I didn't know people even still cared about Doge. I'm so confused by this whole thing.
Doge is a meme.
I know Doge. Tables told me this is the international sign for Doge. You make like a little Doge with your hands.
I think you just tell Tables you love them.
In response to this, Elon Musk tweeted a photo that it was just an image of a dog getting pulled over by a cop with a speech bubble that said, "That's an old photo." So that's what he has to say about this.
So we don't know why he did it?
He's just doing it to be funny, to get under people's skin.
I thought it was like an April Fool's joke that
took too long
and then he just still put it up.
They forgot it was there.
It's been like a week of Doge.
Yeah. He loves Doge.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You thought this was the logo.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise. For me, I was complaining in February about I have a lot of B2B PPC clients and it's a shorter month and it's hard to do well in a shorter month in B2B. And just wanted to give out to a shout out to March because things are looking a lot better in that account. I was talking about we like broke records for SQLs. So can't wait for August when we have 23 business days again.
You killed it for that.
Shout out, March.
It was highest leads ever and target.
Lowest CPA, yeah.
Yeah, SQL. Cost per SQL. Good work, Shep.
Thanks. Good work, March.
And on the flip side, maybe working hard, but now not hardly working. I'm on a new account with Shep, or at least new for me. And we've been trying to get a campaign to spend, tried max conversions, tried ECBC, and the efficiency is just not there. So,
well, we won't tried spend.
Well, now it won't.
Yeah.
We tried setting really high target CPAs with really high budgets and controlling the budget with budget of the account with a script.
Yeah, so this it doesn't is this overspend. Weird, sneaky thing that I kind of started doing, and then Nicole like just went crazy with, where she sets her budgets in like thousands of dollars, where she wants them to spend hundreds,
and it worked.
And has one other turned up, yeah, and it gets it spending faster.
And so then I'm like, Shep, why don't you try it with this other account? And it's not spending anymore. There. So thanks, Google Smart Bidding.
For us, we had a kind of new business pitch for a different department at a company we're working for, kind of different people, everything like that. And I thought we put together like a really good plan for sort of like what people need. And I always forget, like a lot of times like people get wowed by other things and maybe not exactly what they ask for. And I'm like, if you ask for this, like this is what we should present. And we lost that business. And I guess I just always like, if you're going out there and pitching things, make sure you know who like the real decision makers are, you know? So that's just, I guess, a little takeaway there. And because we didn't get it, we actually have a little bit of room now. So if you are looking for any help, we've got a spot here. And another thing I was going to do too is if anybody wants an ads account audit, like I'll happily run through 15 minutes. And if you're spending like 5,000 bucks or so a month, free of charge, run through, record a Loom. We've got a white label email account. So happy to do that. I've got a little extra time here. So hit me up over on Twitter or Discord or wherever you prefer. And we'll happily give you a free Google Ads account. It's only 15 minutes though. And the thing I do too is I start it up just hitting accept so you know it's fresh. And it's not, I'm not taking, you know, that it's gonna be good. And it's unfiltered too, which is the best part.
That's fun.
Like, I hope I don't see this in here, and then see it in there and you're like, oh no, it's there. So anyway, yeah, get at me.
And as someone who got to watch the presentation, you and Jill did such a good job.
Yeah, I was like excited. Like, this is how you fix this exact issue.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, you know, the issue wasn't the deciding factor.
You just never know what people are looking for. Yeah. So, but you were working hard, and it was your flu game week.
Oh, it was my flu game week. Thanks. Yeah.
And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our cool tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners and is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is an AI prompt generator for digital content marketing and SEO, brought to you by Elida Solis. So this is really cool. When you're using AI, sometimes you need help giving it the right prompt to ensure that you're going to get your desired results. So this tool can help you generate the prompt using the 5 W's and H method. That's the what, where, how, who, when, and why. So all you have to do is make a copy of this lovely Google Sheet template and fill in your 5 W's and H. This sheet will spit out your prompt that you can give to the AI that you want to use.
I love the irony of using AI to make an AI prompt. The world is just a great place. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one, the only Melissa Mackey of Merkle B2B at Beyond the Paid on Twitter, and most importantly, power listener of the show. She has a post on Search Engine Land that reads, quality score on paid search, vanity or valuable? ? And the byline is, while quality score is not the be-all, end-all of PPC, search marketers can still use it for optimizing campaigns. Here's how. And Melissa goes through how quality score is defined, if it really is important, pulls a bunch of experts, and here's what they have to say, and then why advertisers say quality score is a vanity metric, and lastly, how you can improve your quality score. So don't miss it. Head over to Search Engine Land or our Discord or newsletter, marketingcollect.com/newsletter, community.marketingcollect.com. Choose your flavor there. And thank you, Melissa.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingcollect.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Greg, what are you adding this week?
My song this week is To You by Mallrat.
What are your thoughts? Malls might be the only thing I hate more than rats.
What about a mall rat?
It's disgusting. Just even the thought. Okay, well, in response to that, I'm adding a song that I think might finally tip you over the edge into splitting up the playlist. Me and Nicole both saw Beetlejuice on Broadway, and our reviews were the same. It was like, funny show. The music wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But one of the funniest songs was Creepy Old Guy.
More Broadway musicals to work to, folks.
Just know when you're listening to it, it is a joke. Nobody believes what they're saying in it. But yeah, so I'm going to have Creepy Old Guy by original Broadway cast recording of Beetlejuice.
Cool. You should put the Jerky Boys CD on there next.
Okay. Jersey Boys?
Jerky Boys.
I don't know them. Not familiar with their work.
Putting joke songs on. Okay.
Nicole?
My song's going to be Out of Your League by Blood Orange.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
Miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
Shoot the heck.
We are back with some more hard-hitting trivia.
Yes.
Which I'm sure has a seasonal connection.
Yes. As you know, this weekend, if you're listening, you may be listening on Good Friday, or you might be listening on Easter. So we have Easter-themed trivia this year. This week. Here. All right. So ring in with your name. I will call on you, and then you can answer the question.
Okay.
I'm only looking at you, Shop, with this.
Why?
You're the only one that breaks the rules. Okay?
How do I break the rules?
You always just yell the answer out.
I thought you were going to say because I was really good at trivia.
No. Usually those answers are wrong. Okay. As of 2017, how many different breeds of domestic rabbits were there? I'll go closest wins this one.
Nicole, 2,500.
Shep, 1,000.
Tables.
3,000.
Interesting game logic there.
You always get mad when people don't do what you want them to do.
But he chose the middle by not. Like,
you can't control him.
I know that, clearly. it is 305. Shep is on the board with one. Okay. What is a male rabbit called?
Shep. A hare?
Incorrect.
I don't know what else other than a hare.
Make something up. Tables, you got anything? Peter. Incorrect. Peter.
What is it?
Nicole, any guesses? Are you going to forfeit this one?
I'm going to forfeit.
Okay, it is a buck.
Oh, wow. I don't think that's a very good term for a male rabbit. It makes it sound a lot tougher than it is.
And, I mean, you might confuse it for a deer.
I have a big problem with rabbits in my neighborhood, and I always think they're rats.
Do you consider rabbits to be vermin, like a rat?
I don't.
Wow, you like rabbits.
Their tails are a lot less threatening.
What about a hamster with no tail?
Ugh, vermin.
Okay. The average lifespan of a rabbit is 2 years. What is the longest a rabbit has ever been recorded to live? And I'll go closest answer. I'll get
Shep.
This. Shep.
9 years.
Nicole. 15.
Okay. Tables, whoa. You going somewhere in between or what?
I'm going somewhere in between. I'm going to go with 13 years.
Nicole is on the board. 17 years.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay.
Must depend on the breed.
How many degrees can a rabbit's ears turn? Like an owl, I think, can go like 360 with its head, right? Or pretty close.
Not 360.
I think it's pretty... this isn't owl trivia. This is Easter trivia. So...
ears.
I'll go closest win this, too.
Tables.
Tables.
I'm going to go 180 degrees.
No way. I'm going to say... I think it's less than 90. I'm going to say 70.
Okay.
I'm going to say 15.
Okay, Shep got the 70 right, but forgot the 270 degrees those ears can turn. So tables, wow, is on the board, and we have a tie. Everybody tied for first here.
We have some rabbit drama in my yard, you know.
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, there's a male rabbit named Dom Vito, and he has a wife named Linda and a mistress.
Who named these rabbits?
My husband. And we don't know who the baby Ulysses belongs to.
Wow.
Scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The name of the rabbit in the Disney classic Bambi was what?
Shep.
Shep.
Thumper.
Thumper. Shep takes the lead. 2-1-1. All right. Next question. What will you find in some domesticated rabbit breeds that you've never seen on a wild rabbit? A characteristic.
Shep.
Shep.
Clip tail.
Incorrect.
Tables.
Tables.
They can't hop.
No.
No. It's in a cage?
No. So you want a hint here, a tillicum.
Oh, Shep, a floppy arm? What? That's what happened to tillicum.
They floppy ears, Shep.
They don't have fins.
Domesticated rabbits can have floppy ears, but any rabbit in the wild does not.
I wish you hadn't brought up tillicum. Poor guy.
How far forward can a rabbit jump? This is going to be for the win if Shep gets it. Closest wins.
Shep.
Shep.
2 feet.
Okay.
8 feet.
All right. Tables, what are you thinking? 4?
5.
Okay. What did you say again, Nicole?
8 feet.
Nicole wins. 10 feet.
Well, now you know a lot about rabbits. Or did you have more questions?
No, we have one more because you're tied. This is only for Nicole and only for Shep. What is the name of a rabbit's underground home?
Shep, Hotel Don Vito, my yard.
Okay, incorrect.
A burrow?
Winner! Nicole takes
really?
It. Come from behind.
Oh my gosh.
3-2-1. Tables, appreciate your strategy, but it didn't pay off this time.
Okay, Tables, you got to brush up on your trivia. We'll see you next week.